birthday party?
Miracle. There you go.
Welcome to the Abracadam Podcast, and I'm your host, stand-up comedy magician Danny Whitson. All right, Abracadamets, I hope you've had a good week. I hope it's been a little cooler than my week because it is hot outside. But no, I hope you're getting stuff done, son. I hope you're doing the grind. I had a good week. I just came off a fantastic weekend at had a good show there at CreepyCon. It's always nice to see my CreepyCon fam and meet new faces. I do my Halloween comedy magic show at CreepyCon, and I usually do it as we get closer to Halloween, and I love doing that show, so it's always a good time. But no, I'm definitely doing better than a milk truck driver. Yeah, so any milk truck drivers out there, my heart goes out to you because I know you're wondering, what the hell happened to all my milk crates? Where's all my milk crates? Well, I'm going to tell you, your milk crates, you know, right now kids are walking across them trying to balance on top of milk crates and falling down and breaking their ass. I don't know if you guys have seen this latest challenge on social media, but that's what they're doing. Makes no sense to me. It's weird because like every few years it comes around and someone has a dumbass idea and they start doing dumb stuff, kind of like not getting a vaccine. But anyways, people are dumb. I don't get it. I'm excited about this. I know you guys have heard me talk about the movie that I got to be a part of, WJHCAM. They had a new teaser trailer come out the other day, and you can go see that right now on YouTube. Just search WJACAM or Big and Funky Productions, and you can see that trailer. I'm excited about that. That movie will be out on Amazon Prime this winter, and I will talk to you more about that as we get closer. Excited, we got a new sponsor for today's episode. This episode is brought to you by Ridge Runners Bar and Grill, located at 259 Warehouse Road, Oak Ridge, Tennessee, 37830. Now, my man Chris has a fantastic little place. If you ever want to get out on the weekends and just relax and have a drink, highly recommend Ridge Runners Bar and Grill. A great place on the weekends to check out live music, or if you're shooting pool, hey, they got the best pool tournaments around. And here's the best secret, fantastic food. So if you're looking for something to do in the weekends or just need a place maybe to chill during the week, be sure to check out Ridge Runners Bar and Grill, once again located at 259 Warehouse Road, Oak Ridge, Tennessee. Give Chris a call if you got any questions at 865-272-3501. All right, Abracadamets. Now, today's guest is somebody who I met a few years ago. I was doing a show in Anderson, South Carolina. And what was so cool about this show is it was set up like a speakeasy. So, yeah, I showed up, and it looked like a taxidermist place. I mean, it was weird, you know. And I opened the door, and next thing I know, there's this amazing little venue with all these super cool people ready to have an abracadam good time. And one of those people was today's guest. She is a fantastic comic. But one thing you'll notice, this episode, we're talking about something else that's special about today's comic, is Robin Scott. She is also a trans person. So if you will, Abracadamets, sit back and relax and enjoy my fun conversation with stand-up comedian Robin Scott. All right, we got stand-up comedian Robin Scott. How you doing today, Robin?
I'm fantastic. How are you?
Doing good, doing good. Now, I tell you what, I've had the pleasure of knowing you for a few years now, but if you don't mind, will you go ahead and introduce yourself to the listeners?
My name is Robin Scott. I'm a transgender comedian in rural South Carolina. I've been performing for about 6 years now, have finally started branching out more than just my little circle in the upstate of South Carolina. And with that, I've actually got to meet and expand my horizons and make a lot of new friends, especially in the comedy world.
Well, you know, I love the way you jumped right into it there. You said transgender comic. Now, Okay, I remember the first time meeting you, and it was at that really cool venue.
Speakeasy.
It's a speakeasy, which was super cool because it looked like a taxidermy place or something. And then next thing you know, you go through there and there's just an awesome show, and it was a great time in Anderson, South Carolina. That was a really cool time. But you were kind enough to come see my freaking show. So you were there. And now you said transgender. Now I got to be honest with you, Robin. First time I met you, I had no clue you were a transgender person. I didn't know until you had, I think you had said something about it one time in a post or something. And I was like, oh, I had no clue. But no, that's interesting because that is transgender is a major topic these days.
Yeah.
Now, but let's
it's
do this.
It's a buzzword, definitely.
It's definitely a buzzword. Definitely a buzzword. And, but one thing, I do want to say this real quick too, while it's on my mind. When I see transgender people, I hope that motorcycle doesn't make the podcast, but it might. Anyways, sorry. I'm not editing it out either. But anyways, when I see a transgender person, the word brave pops in my mind, right off the bat. And because, it's something like if you could take a gay person or a lesbian person, I mean, that's not so much always, it's not always as advertised. Like a gay man can walk by and you now have no clue they're a gay person. Or the same thing with a lesbian woman, you may have no clue. But there's some transgender people who are in the process of making the transition. It's advertised, right? There it is. And they're like, this is what I'm going through. This is what's happening. So I think there's a level of bravery there that a lot of other people don't even can even imagine.
I agree. I hate using that word hero that got thrown around for especially like toward Caitlyn Jenner and all. Brave is an accurate term because it's hard to be yourself in society in general, let alone something that's stigmatized like being transgender. It definitely feels at times there are more people against you than for you, but it's brave in the same sense that someone who deals with chronic depression gets up and chooses not to end it that day and go live another day. Someone who's lost a loved one and decided they got to get their life back together. It's that same style of bravery. It's not, you didn't go stop a brigade of attacking soldiers or something brave. It's
a bird. It's a plane. It's transgender person.
Oh God. I might have to steal that one. I do have a Superman joke, but it's not appropriate. It's that same kind of bravery. I agree. I hate the word hero. It got thrown around so much this last year and a half. Everybody from the burger flipper at McDonald's to the nurses in the hospital, the heroes, these frontline heroes that nobody did a thing for.
Well, let's do this because, not only are you a transgender person, but you are advertised on stage. You're an entertainer. You're a performer. So It's like, this is it. So, but let's hear the backstory. How did Robin Scott become Robin Scott today?
Oh Lord. Okay. Couple of roadmaps, obviously. If you're unfamiliar with the term roadmap, these are courses and events in your life that kind of suddenly put a fork in the road and you go left or right and it changes the course of your life. It usually happens with birth of my child, marriages, divorces, deaths in your family, deaths of close friends, things of these nature. For me, I've always been trans. I mean, from the time I was 4 years old, and I'm 43 now, I remember from the time I was 4 years old, cross-dressing. When I pretended to be a girl. Of course, the parents didn't really like that and didn't think anything, about it more than just a kid being a kid, but of course, dad didn't want his son running around playing in a nightie, especially God, 70s, early 80s. So there was already being trained into you societally and everything else that you don't do that. Boys do this. boys play with G.I. Joes, girls play with Barbie, and so on and so forth. A lot of that came and go throughout my whole life. I would have those moments. I would have to have moments of expression, which usually involve locked doors and nobody seeing me dress and stuff of that nature. But it ended up kind of coming to a head mid-20s. I was married. We had our first child. She was several years old at this point, and we're kind of looking and we're trying to decide, you know, if we're going to have another kid. And that was something that after researching hormones and whatnot, and I don't know how deep you want me to go, because I can go deep on this story, but really started, I guess, 2000, when we got the internet. And I say that because, like most every guy who has the internet, what's the first thing you do?
Oh, yeah, you porn.
You porn. So after you've looked at all the free porn you can look at, and you've done everything, and you're just like, okay, I want to see the crazy stuff now. We start going and looking for the crazy junk. You know, it's like, okay, where's these German Scheisser videos we've heard about? Where's this? Where's that? And of course, you're going to run across shemales and chicks with dicks and every other porn term that our fans have for us. So obviously, being one of those people, that kind of attracted me. So I'm like, huh, I want to see. And when I go, I start finding that they had another search word, transgender. And I'm going, wait a minute, because I'd always known the term transsexual. And well, what's transgender? And I started researching and I found some blogs. And at the time, this is 2000, so it's chat rooms and YouTube is, I think, just coming into its infancy, if it even existed at that point.
Yeah.
So I'm going through and I'm looking and I'm researching and I'm finding this amazing stories that were so, it felt like I typed them. Because every time you talk to a transgender person, their stories are going to have so much similarity, but at the same time be so different and individualized. For a vast majority of us, we knew something when we were younger. We might have fought it, we might have hit it, depending on parents and family and friends and society, but we knew something. Some of us have it worse than others. That's one of the things, trust me, I'm not a fan of Caitlyn Jenner. I came out 2 months before she did. So, but it's one of those things that when people kind of wonder why she waited till she's 65 to come out, it's kind of like, well, I waited till I was 30. My kid's grown. We're not having kids anymore. I've done my job. I've raised my child. And when I say come out, I didn't come out at 30. I came out late 30s, but that was when I started playing with hormones, and I'll go into that in a minute. But it was, her kids are grown. They're all wealthy. They all have careers. Everyone in her family is set, including herself. She is financially set. She doesn't have to worry about the impact or losing anything. And then suddenly, everybody likes to call the tranny explosion, is when suddenly everybody started coming out. And because they started finding out, not everybody does hate you as much as you think you do. And suddenly you start realizing that, oh, maybe it's okay to actually live my life my way and be who I express myself the way I feel I am. And it starts branching off in there.
So let me ask this real quick, because all right, so now you knew pretty much ever since you were a small child that you weren't a dude. You felt you were a female.
To some extent, yeah. I mean,
you knew something was up. Something was going
on. Right, right. Yeah. I never actually had an exact word, but I started reading those things and went, whoa. And then I started realizing, wait a minute, this is who I want to be. And
yeah,
that started mid-20s. And I fought that for over a decade before I finally even started coming out.
Well, one of the clear issues is, you know, people, I always try to tell people, like straight people, when we have a conversation, that try to imagine that you don't like women. Just try to pretend. Try to go a week, fellas, like you hate women. Not, you know, that you, get this naked woman away from me. You know, I'm going to puke, you know. I mean, I couldn't imagine having to spend my entire lifetime acting like I didn't find women attractive. So, you know, just to suit society, or just to suit my parents, or just to suit, you know, my church, or or, yeah, you know, stuff like that. That's hell. That's absolutely hell. So, and you knew though, at a young age, you were different. Something was different. But you did try to do the path. You got married, had children. You did what you were supposed to do, what society told you were supposed to do. No regret on your kids. I'm sure you're super
absolutely
great.
Not.
Absolutely. Greatest miracle in the world. I do know there's certain other places in the country that it's not as bad, but South Carolina, man, you know, Tennessee, same way, you know, I mean,
yeah,
in the Southeast, it's not easy for a gay person, let alone a transgender person. So, but this is the other thing. Was there one time, Robin, you thought you were a gay man? Or did you know, okay, nope, that's different?
I am full-blown lesbian. I am into women. When I came out, and this is a conversation, side note, I helped start a support group in the upstate that was needed here. A larger group out of Greenville actually helped us get started. And I've taken a back seat to it because, one, my time, I dealt with a lot of depression last year like everybody else did through 2020. And so I'm not running the group as much anymore. Actually, I don't even run anymore as far as I'm concerned. But the person who's running it is doing an amazing job. And it was needed. When I did that, it was to fill a need that was in the upstate because there are so many people that deal with it. My transition, yeah, I faced some adversity, but my transition wasn't that bad. I was in my late 30s. When I came out, 35, I think, when I came out, and 35, 30, it's been 7 years, so let's, 36, there we go. So, it was, I'm in management, and I've been in management. Financially, we own our house, we're in a pretty good financial position. I mean, I couldn't retire by no means, but we're not struggling for money. We're middle class and upper middle class at this point, as far as I'm concerned, but we're doing good. So for me, I've made it a point to make sure when I'm out telling my story, because one thing you hear everywhere you go is the horror stories. My dad kicked me out. My family disowned me. This happened, that happened. And that's usually what puts these people into drugs and depression.
Absolutely.
And prostitution, yeah, or whatever they had to survive. And I always make it a point to make sure I share my story so they understand that not everything is horrible. No matter what adversity I've dealt with, what hateful idiot I've had to look at or interact with or whatever, I'm still so much happier being my authentic self than I am hiding who I am. So, but yeah, well, it's never been up about the...
I do want to ask a quick attraction. Question real quick, Robin. Let me ask this. I didn't know this. So you are a transgender person and you are attracted to lesbian. So
women, yeah.
Women, you're in a lesbian. Yeah. So, women, not, but technically they would have to be lesbian. So
you would think, or bisexual.
Or bisexual, yeah. Yeah.
Or in my wife's case, forced into a bisexual relationship.
So are you with the same person you were whenever? Oh my God. So
28 years together, 21
holy
years married.
Crap, dude. That is
And she's not bisexual.
So. And she's not bisexual. No, so she's into women as well.
No.
No. Okay, now I'm confused, Robin.
Yeah.
Help me. I'm a straighty. My straighty brain is all screwed up right now.
So, we're probably the perfect example of how to explain pansexual to somebody. It's a simple fact. She doesn't find me that attractive as a woman. I find myself attractive. I think I'm transitioning well and whatnot, but she doesn't find me attractive. Not in the same sexual attraction that one would Jason Momoa or something of that nature.
Okay.
And I understand that. I get that. It's the same as expecting me to be attracted to a man, and she's not. But she's not as much attracted on the physical side of that for me, but she still is the person I am. She still finds Robin attractive, the things that I do, the attraction I have for her, my love for her, those are the things that she sees through. And that's usually the easiest way to explain pansexuality to somebody.
Okay.
But we're kind of a living example, even though she does not identify. She identifies as straight. But
Has your name always been Robin? Was Robin Okay, I was about to say, because Robin's one of those. I was like, that's a perfect trans name. You know?
Yeah. And I have no problem telling people what my dad name is. It's, I don't hate myself. I love the person I was.
You don't have to, but I mean, I was just wondering out of curiosity.
No, I do not mind at all. My birth name was Robert Craig Scott. And when I transitioned, I wasn't exactly sure what name I wanted. I had tinkered, but nothing felt right. And believe it or not, when I came out to my employees, who I was managing at the time, I sat everyone down, friends and family and everybody, one at a time so they could ask whatever questions they needed to. But when everybody would ask, they always ask three things. How's your wife and daughter take it? Are you going to have the surgery? What's your name going to be? And it was, well, I don't know. I actually, that was one thing I had never really thought about beforehand is this is actually happening now. What is my name? This Robert, I went by Craig. That, I don't like Craig anymore.
No.
So my therapist was like, go with Celeste. And I'm like, nah, it's not really me. And I wanted to keep my initials. That's kind of, my dad's name is Robert. And that it's not so much the family name, but it was my dad's name and I was named after him. And I still want to pay respect. So at least we want to keep the initials. And one of my employees was like, well, what about Robin Casey? And I sat on it for about a week. I was like, I like it. One friend joked with me that I should have named myself Trinity with five eyes. And trans girls are notorious. And guys, too, are for coming out and giving themselves the most extremely feminine or extremely masculine names. And I didn't want that. I'm in professional management. I wanted to stay professional and not be, you know, Natasha or something that seems a little more extreme. And hence Robin Casey was born. The only thing different is Casey is C-A-C-E-E. And I always joke that that is my stripper name.
Ah, there you go. Well, okay. So this is super interesting. So you're still with the same person who you were years ago. And how long you said you guys been together?
28 years. So high school sweethearts.
Years. Let's applaud
October.
Wow.
Yeah. In October, it'll be 28 years.
That is a long time to be with anyone. And that is awesome. Mm-hmm. That is super awesome. So, okay. You knew you... Then you decide to, I'm going to make this change. I'm going to make this transition and be who I know I really am.
Right.
And she was on board with that, correct? She.
Not as much in the beginning. There was a lot of hateful words said that at times still resonate, but it came, I think, once she realized I'm still me. It's just, my joke to friends was literally, I'm just going to get a lot prettier. I'm still me. My tits are going to get bigger and I'm going to get a lot prettier. That was the running joke. And actually when I came out to the public, I'd already been on hormones under the table, not recommended, but I did what I did. So I was already had boobs. So I just hid them under sports bras and whatnot. So.
And we, you know, okay. It's okay. So she eventually, surely to goodness though, there had to have been some like flags that went up over the years that you're together that she's thinking, you know, something's different here.
The cross dressing.
Okay.
She got to the point. I think like the TV show Transparent, if you ever watch it, it's a good show. It started getting a little weird toward the later seasons, just kind of quit being a great show, in my opinion, but. First season was great, and when the mom, or the dad is becoming the mom, transitioning the original mom, they're all Jewish, and they're talking, and they're like, oh, that's just his kink. That's just his kink, you know, and even though it was never anything we did in the bedroom, it was just one of those, it was like, whatever I did behind closed doors.
Yeah,
and I think
there is what kink. It was. And see, the thing that I explain to people all the time is, unfortunately, so many of us have been taught that everything is black and white. It's either this or it's that. Mm-hmm. And that is not how human beings are. There's gray area, especially in sexuality. There's a ton of gray area. You know, people have their kinks, but that doesn't mean that they are, you know, that doesn't mean they're a trans person. They might like to dress up in a dress in the bedroom. Who knows? Whatever you do is your business. Whatever your kink is, that's your business, you know?
Right.
But there's just a ton of gray area. And I'm a firm believer in this. I am. I always say, I think when it comes to sexuality, like there's probably like this scale of like everybody's got a little teeny bit of gay in them. You know what I mean? Just a little bit of gay, you know? And then, you know, so like there's levels, like you can meet the gay dude that's like kind of gay, you know, then you meet super gay boy, you know? So it's just kind of like there's this.
There's that was my first pride. First gay club. Sorry.
Same thing with, same thing with women, same thing with men. And so sexuality is just so full of gray area with human beings. Now with the, you know, with the trans people, I think it's not really though, like you're unique almost kind of a situation because a lot of trans people want to be, they want to be that other sex that they feel, you know, that they are. They feel, you know, this is what I identify as. And they're attracted, like, to other men, you know, like a straight man. Do you get, and vice versa, you know? So, and I think that's probably one of the issues that they run into because there are a lot of straight people who wouldn't be comfortable in a relationship, right? I'm not saying at this moment, but there are some, it's just the reality. There's some straight people out there that wouldn't be comfortable dating a trans person. There is some people out there, but then right now it's still the norm to, you know, withdraw from it. I think, you know, fall in love with who you fall in love with, you know, there you go. Now, before I ramble any, I don't want to ramble, keep on going on. I do want to get in and ask you, well, I do want to bring some other things up, but definitely.
I ramble, so you have to keep me on.
Well, no, it's okay. It's okay. I want to ask you though, so you came out when you said you were 35, correct?
Yeah, 35, 36.
Now, so when did stand up, when did your comedy career kick in?
6 years ago.
So you had already became who you are. Okay.
I started as Robin. Actually, when I started performing, I was still using Craig. Mostly because at the time my wife and daughter were still dealing with it, even though it was in its first year. Wasn't quite a year along yet. A friend of mine, the same person who booked you for the show at Anderson, did a roast here and had me, it was at one of my, basically my brother's funeral. Not talking biological, about, but somebody, Moo Moo.
Well, yeah, we could say his name, right? He's not at, it's Chris Phillips, Moo Moo. What's up? Big shout out, brother. How you doing? Okay.
So he, we were at one of my, basically my brother's funeral and we're all sitting outside and doing what friends do. We're all just talking mad shit to each other. We're roasting each other. And he was trying to had a project he was working on, and he wanted to do a big roast, and he wanted us to roast him. So we all got together and was like, sure, and he invited me to come along. I had never done stand-up. In the back of my mind, I always thought maybe, because I grew up watching so much of it, I always loved it, but I never really thought about being a performer. I MC, I did karate and worked on cars, everything. When we had car shows, was part of the organization for it, promoting it, and I was the person talking to 300 people, so it was never a public speaking was never an issue. I will speak, just sit on a stage awkwardly, comfortable as hell with however many people and not care. So I'm good with that. So I was like, fine. And then I started thinking about it, you know, us sitting around talking crap is completely different than me having to sit here and tell y'all 5 minutes worth of crap. So I had to think of all these direct one-way jokes, how to set up the story, how to set up the punch. And I had never done that before. And of course, it wasn't great, but I did get laughs and I did have some really good burns in there. I hit the panel. You know, I did everything I'd ever seen on a roast show done except for, you know, kill them with some completely off shots. But it was kind of like a big public coming out of it, even though people knew this was suddenly me performing. And at that time, like I said, I still use my dead name. So here's my male name with not as far along as I am now. So it was very much like you were talking about. I still look like dude in a dress. And I was okay with it. And it was shortly after that, I think, actually the following year, I had my name legally changed and Robin became full-time Robin. But it was, yeah, 6 years ago at the Roast of Moo Moo. And then we had a mic in Anderson at the Mellow Mushroom, which don't even exist anymore. They tore that whole building down. But that's where I cut my teeth. And for about, God, a year and a half, I was performing. I started actually helping host there. Met a lot of amazing, it's what I'm trying to do now with the room I just opened, but we had a lot of great comics from Atlanta and everywhere come through. I got to meet a lot of people way above my skill set to even to this day that have been fantastic networking connections. And I love that. And I'm trying to do the same thing for some of these newer comics now. Put them in front of the right people so they can actually start trying to get booked in Chattanooga and in Knoxville and over in Atlanta and over in Alabama. So, you know.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, okay, let's, let me, I want to go back just a second. Cause you brought up hormones. Okay. Mm-hmm. Doing the hormone therapy. Now this is something. Okay. What is your opinion? And I mean, I will go ahead and tell you my opinion and I don't want to get any haters on this, but this is my opinion, how I see it. Because growing up as a child, especially through puberty, it's hard to, there's a chance, a possibility that you can go back and forth on your sexuality several times before it really sets in. Right. And I've always seemed to feel like if someone does want to take hormones to make that transition, I think they should at least be at least 25 years old before, because that's when the brain stops developing, is fully developed by the age of 25. Right. And by then they have a firm grasp that they want to, you know, that at least they can make that conscious adult decision. What is your opinion? I'd love to hear, Rob.
Well, and again, I'm very open-minded, so I understand. For me, and this is a mistake that a lot of people take away, no one is actually being put through transition at 8, 9 years old. They're not doing surgeries at 8 and 9. They're not doing surgeries at 12. Matter of fact, one of the people who helped me start the support group was a 12-year-old trans male. And the only thing they did, and it was done at Duke University, was puberty blockers, which does nothing to hurt the body. It was just, they had already started puberty. They're 12 years old. They're in middle school and they're starting to come out as trans. So this was kind of to help them quit from having to worry about developing breasts and developing all the secondary characteristics that are associated with puberty. My daughter didn't have her natural period, and she's completely cisgender, until she was 14. So this putting puberty off doesn't hurt anything. It's seen, it's proven, doctors know this. Delaying puberty to a point where they are clearly old enough to make decisions. And I say this same way. If you're going to let your kid drive and put other people's lives at risk, they should be able to put their own. Now, with that being said, I'm not saying they should go out there and get every surgery. But having some hormone therapy when you're younger, when you still look a little more androgynous, helps so much on the transitioning to cut out the man in a dress syndrome. Because let's be honest, everything you hear about trans hysteria, it's always trans women. No one's bitching about trans men. They're always bitching about us in the bathroom. Nobody cares where the women go as far as that goes. They just don't want us because they have some weird crazy stereotype in their head that we're going to be something. It's kind of like saying, and I forgive me, this word is not meant to be offensive, but I've heard it 15 different ways, so I understand I'm not coming with malice. But a midget, it is always a joke in a movie.
Mm-hmm.
Trans people, historically, trans women were always the joke or the pun of a movie. Hell, Crocodile Dundee is one of my favorite movies growing up, and there's the scene where, you know, the cross-dresser, the trans woman, and Crocodile Dundee reaches down, grabs crotch, and, you know, I think then punches her. And, you know, even Austin Powers had a scene, you know, there's just all this stuff that we're always the butt of a joke. And that's something that kids seen growing up, being able to actually help their transition smoother when, especially like you said, at 25, they're getting out of college. They're now trained in a specific skill set. And while as I understand exactly what you're saying at 25, I've known since I was a child. I have. Now, I have met, out of all the trans people I've met, I have only ever met, I think, three people who decided not to transition. And being that we were running a support group, a couple of people reached back out to us later on because it was fear from families and a lot of time. Some just decided transition wasn't for them. They were happy living cross-dress, whatever their lifestyle is. I don't know. But
no,
have been people I've met who haven't.
Let me ask you this, because you brought up the bathroom debate, mm-hmm. which I think is ridiculous. I do think there's much more important things to talk about rather than the damn bathrooms. I mean,
I agree.
If you know, a lot of defense, I mean, the things that people, you know, that these people run to is, well, how do we know what's going to stop some crazy pedophile or some rapist to go into the women's bathroom? And nothing's stopping them now, you jackass.
Exactly.
You know, they've been doing, I mean, freaking Ted Bundy. I mean, he was a straight dude, you know? I mean, if these people are out there, it has nothing to do with transgender people or where in the hell they want to take a piss, you know? That's a stupid thing to debate. That is not an issue. I don't
The red herring there is literally they could dress up like a woman and go in the bathroom scot-free. And it's one of those, great. Okay, I understand that argument. Why are you letting your child stand outside, go into a bathroom, and if you're that worried about something happening to your child, why are you not standing outside the door?
Absolutely.
I promise you, I stood outside the door when my daughter got to the age where she didn't join me in the men's room. I was standing outside the women's room door in case something was wrong, if something happened. And you know what? I'd have walked my ass in the women's room back then to help my daughter, and nobody would have said a word.
Yeah, I agree with you. And if you're any type of parent, you don't just let your child hang out. I mean, you know, you just don't do that. I don't think that's an issue. That's not a debate. That's stupid. But now here, this is a debate. What I'm going to bring out here now.
Sports.
Absolutely, Robin Scott, is sports. Now, don't get me wrong. That's where I have an issue. And like I said, I love transgender people, nothing at all world against them. But not until science can change completely, some updates on science, I think we can't allow certain things to take place.
I do understand this.
Okay. Let me hear your opinion on it.
Okay, so my thing, obviously on a high school level, I think this is part of the reason why what you were talking about, hormone therapy, the Olympic Committee, and we're going to find out this year because I know we have the one power lifter out of Australia who is trans female, and we're going to find out because she comes in here. Here's the thing, if she goes in and she's clearly lifting 100 pounds more than her competition, there's an argument to be made. If not a full shutdown. If she goes there and wins this by 5 pounds, her victory is going to be tainted because of all the accusations. She goes in and gets second. She gets silver. People are going to be like, they're going to find an excuse to blame something else. I promise you. The Olympic Committee, who are the sports professionals, they track hormones more than anyone. Matter of fact, there's a huge article out right now. God, I can't remember the name of this country, but two women are actually one. They both risked disqualification because their natural testosterone was too high. So, and they can tell the difference because they run full metabolics. So they could actually tell, and it's like, no, you have too much testosterone in your body for a cis female, but it's natural. It's your natural hormones. So they gave them options, either compete in the men's category Or go to a longer race that had a different rule. And I think the other was possibly something to reduce the testosterone.
Now, these were two, I mean, these weren't trans people.
No, these are cis females.
Just female. Well, I mean, I'll be honest, right, man. I've seen some, especially these athletic females, you know, that you know are taking some type of testosterone supplements. They really have a manly feel.
Oh, they did. They looked very masculine.
And masculine. Very masculine. Very masculine. So that's something else. That's something else to really to wonder about there, too. I can kind of see that. I have an issue. One of the biggest things that I really have an issue, because you hear these stories. I'm not even sure what the MMA fighter is, but there was an MMA fighter that was a trans person, and they wound up beating the hell out of another female. Like, I mean, it was bad.
Kind of like the way Chris Cyborg did Gina Carano, right?
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's there you go. And we know what Cyborg looked like there for a few years. Yeah.
I do understand that, because there's still, in a lot of people's minds, they don't understand what hormone therapy does to our bodies. It isn't just I grew tits and I have a beard. I am weaker. Still a large frame woman. You've seen me. I'm a big girl. I could probably muster some rage strength up with some adrenaline, but I am not the person I used to be.
Now, how long have you been taking the hormone therapy? How long have you been?
Oh, God. 30, 31. So about 12 years off and on, but it started under the table, under doctor's care when I came out. That was actually part of the thing, but it about 6.5 years under doctor's care with blood tests. That's why the therapy had to come in, to do it properly and follow standards of care, which they're a little outdated at this point. They're finding that out. You have to go through therapy. Your therapy has to recommend it. Therapists have to recommend it. And then your hormone doctor will okay and administer and track you like crazy. I haven't been to my therapist in years. I haven't needed her. She was great to go to. I love her to death. I still like talk to her, but not on a therapy level.
Well, okay. So, well, let's do this. Okay. Because I just definitely wanted to bring up those two topics. Those are the main ones. Right. I think the bathrooms are dumb, you know, but I think those two topics right there, they're rational conversation pieces with.
They are, because like you said, the science is still kind of out.
Yeah.
The Olympic Committee has a pretty good role, but I don't know if it's.
And well, also.
Where it's going to stand.
You know, and the political, because this is now became a political issue. The problem is it's not when I said that there's gray area and everything, there really is. And not just your more conservative people do this, but even your extreme liberal people do this. They jump to black and white on their agendas too. It's either this or it's either that. You're either this or you're either that. You either side with them or you side, you know. There's that garbage on both sides. Let me ask, this is a big one, because the pronoun topic with the pronouns. I'm one of these people that I call females dudes. I call, you know, I use the same word for everyone, you know, a lot of times.
Right. And,
I know that could become an offensive thing to a transgender person, especially somebody who is trying. You know, I don't want to be a dude. You know, don't call me that. But I mean, intent is about everything in the English language.
Yeah.
You know, what is your stance on like the pronoun issue? Because I mean, I think there's some there's, I mean, I will address you as a she if however you want me to address you.
Right.
You know, like I said, the first time I saw you, I just thought you was a woman. So if someone had said, hey, where did Robin?
And that's how that's
she went how over there. You know, yeah. Exactly.
And that's how I present done.
Now,
go ahead.
but I mean, well, I'm just saying, I mean, so that would be the intent. I wouldn't. Now, clearly, if I can see someone is trying to, but I can tell they're in the process, I mean, if I had to make the assumption, if they were, you know, dressed like a female, you know, with the hair, everything, I would say she first, even though if they were, that's just what I've, you know, but I mean, right. It's, but I think there's also a group of people out there right now that are just assholes who mm-hmm. want to just stir the pot on both sides. There's people yeah. that's like, I'm going to call them, well, I'm an ass, so I'm going to call them whatever. And then there's these people, it's like, you know what? I'm secretly pissed off and I'm raging, you know, bad person, but I'm also a coward, so I'm not going to let it out. And, you know, you've got
both of those
people. You got those people. So anyways, I can ramble about that. What's your thoughts on the pronouns?
For me, it's respect. Simple as that. And I still struggle with they, them. I actively have to think about what I'm saying. I have misgendered people before, and these are people in my support group that I know their pronouns. You get caught up in physical presentation, and you have people who are still stealth, who hasn't started transition because of the position of their life, their fear of career, family. We're dealing with college kids sometimes that are living on mom and dad, and mom and dad won't, like, we'll drop your insurance, we'll kick you out of school, you can't do anything.
Yeah.
So, you know, all that matters. So I get it. Pronouns do matter, and sometimes it's the most affirming thing you can do, but it's also the most belittling thing you can do to somebody sometimes. Not like, dude, doesn't bother me. I know. Trust me, dude, I know. I've recently been caught up on the bruh kick, so everything has become bruh.
Bruh, that's so funny because my daughter and just bruh. Now everybody's yeah. bruh, you know. So I think that's funny.
Same. And it's one of those where if it was something that was triggering for someone, I'm going to try my best not to say it. But it's a two-way street. Like you said, intent means so much.
It does.
And if you were with your family, when they're actively trying, my friends, they would dead name me at first, of course. But I got where I was messing with them. Adam, who, you know, helped, was half owner somewhere. Every time he would do it playing. And I knew how to take him. And it got to a point where I look at him, I said, all right, you call me Craig one more time, I'm going to kiss you. And again, and I would. He'd say it thinking I wouldn't. I'm actually. Because that, again, that's something that had been 10 years ago, my skin would have crawled and I was terrified. Now I'm not worried about them now. You know, it's like this kind of outdoes gay. So if I can be trans, gay would have been easy. So I don't even care about that thought.
And you know, you also I'm with that. You know, I mean, respect is the main thing. And so whatever a person wants to be called, I will call them. But in the world we live in, this is reality, is that we use these in mm-hmm. first. So when people are talking, if someone's saying, hey, you seen Danny Whitson, you know, the redheaded guy, you know, or, you know, oh yeah, the short dude, you know, or something. I mean, that's just how it is. You know, that's how right. it's gonna, you know, I don't walk around and be like, damn it, you don't say redhead. You know, I know people.
I'm naturally a ginger also. I get it.
But I mean, that's just how it is, you know. But at the same time, if you can clearly see a trans person who is in the process of making the transition or something, I mean, you may ask, hey, how do you want me to address you? Or, you know, I'm going to assume you want me to say she. Because this is where this is the thing. Okay. Yeah, I'm calling bullshit on trans people that or making a transition to look like a woman, and then I call you she, and you're like, what did you call me? Come on, man.
That's Jeffree Star. Jeffree Star don't count.
That's bullshit, you know? So, but I also hate the way people are also, they want to loop or lump, you know, trans people in with all these other types of things, people who identify like this, or identify this, or identify that. I mean, I just... You can't group everything in the same group. It's a different story. It's a different situation. Yeah. And also kind of like what you said, you know, it's an individual situation that
different. It is.
So now being a comic though, because like I said, you know, you're a stand-up comedian. how many times do you pull material out of being a trans person?
90% of my material.
And I mean,
my opener literally is, "Hi, my name is Robin Scott. I'm what liberals like to refer to as a delicate snowflake trans female." And depending on what the crowd does, I have an answer for that. Conservatives have a slightly different name for me, something you may have heard before. A little more near and dear to my heart. That's "Kill It!" And I scream "Kill It" at the crowd, and usually through the mic, so it's really loud and aggressive. That is my open. So it's like the first thing we're talking about is, I'm trans, let's have fun.
Now, have you, do you feel like sometimes after a show that maybe you pick up some people that are like, you know, "Will up, you know, I enjoyed this trans person on stage right now. I would have never thought that would have happened." But
yeah, you know how people stick around shows to talk to you and tell you how great you were, or how funny you are for a woman, or those kind of things.
You know, I usually don't think women are funny, but you.
That was it. I've had a lot of people, and it's funny because I'm up there, and then they'll come up to me. It's like, "Man, he was funny. Y'all, this guy right here," and they're pointing at me. I'm like, she,
she's funny. She. Yeah, that's. I can only imagine the courtesy of a drunk, you know. So the, Here we go, because we've been going, man. This is one of these topics that we can definitely talk about for a while. But we got to get the show on the road, Robin. So let's talk about this. We're talking about performing. So here on the Abracadam podcast, every episode of the Abracadam podcast, I have to ask you to tell a hell gig story. Let's hear a good one, Robin Scott.
Oh, God. Okay, so probably one of the worst ones for me, and again, I've been very lucky, I haven't had anything that was too catastrophic. Worst one for me, I was actually performing at a Hells Angels bar.
Ooh, now, whoa! Let's hear it.
Yeah. So, I walk in, and I'm looking around, as soon as I pull up to the bar, I'm here thinking, oh God, this is where I die. I walk in, I go straight to the bar, and the bartender looks at me. She's just like, "Can I help you?" "I'm here for the comedy show." And she goes, "Oh, great. Here, have a seat. Can I get your beer or anything?" Just sweet as can be. "Yeah, sure. Give me a Bud Light, whatever." And I look around, and this place is probably half the size of my house. It's maybe 1,000 square foot if I were lucky. I mean, maybe. There's a pool table beside the stage and a pool tournament going on while we're performing. There's about four tables in front of the stage and the bar. We each get booked. We're sitting beside, between the pool table and the stage, which, trust me, you had to dodge the cue stick a lot because that was a pool tournament and they did not want you in their way. I think a couple of us, I'm not sure, but I never got the knock in the back of the head, but one of the other comics did. We all get up on stage, we do our time. That went well. Performing went well. I think it's my first time I'd done 15 minutes, and it wasn't great material. It was stuff I was still hammering out early off. But I did about 15 minutes. I was so proud of myself, and I get down. Well, then the person who booked the show had themselves as a closer, which that's fine. A lot of times that's the way it happens. So they get up, they start performing, they've had a little bit too much to smoke, a little too much to drink, and the people at the bar are being a little too loud. And if you've ever done stand-up comedy in a bar, you know you are never the main attraction. The bar, the game on the TV, the alcohol, everyone in there except you means more than that microphone.
Yeah.
So he starts challenging the people at the bar to come tell jokes. Like, if you think you're funny, you do this.
Yeah.
And about three big old burly guys come walking up to the bar, and I'm like, "Oh, don't worry about paying me. I will see you later. I'm leaving. Have a nice day." And I get in my car and I haul ass. So that's about the worst one I've had so far.
Well, probably
nothing became of it, but
definitely not smart to ever do that though. Those bar shows suck. I'm just gonna, and any comic has had that experience, and they totally suck. But yeah, I couldn't imagine, you know, probably what you were dealing with going into a biker bar. That would have probably been weird.
Oddly enough, now me and my wife both ride motorcycles and go on to bike rides and rallies. And,
oh, cool.
And it's wonderful watching all these, you know, conservative old white men that are, you know, a little bit racist and a little bit bigoted, yeah, looking around going, and suddenly they understand the importance of a safe space.
There, I mean, and that's what a lot of stuff for people to, a lot of things are just where people just don't understand. You know, they just haven't had the experience or been around it enough to understand it. Yeah. Let's do this. Hold on real quick. Hold on real quick, Robin Scott. Oh, here we go. We got to, on the Abracadam podcast also, we got to do a magic trick. Okay. Now, God knows you've seen enough of my crap. You've seen my show. But here, I want to do some, do you believe in mind reading, Robin?
I do.
All right, Robin. Well, I'm going to try to read your doggone mind. I'm going to try to get up inside your head a little bit. All right, here we go. Here we go. Here we go. Here we go. Can you see these cards? Hold on. I want you to think of one of these cards. Just think of one.
Okay.
All right, you got it.
I've got it.
All right, give me a second here. I'm going to lose them in the deck. I'm going to lose your cards. Shuffle it. All right. Now, here we go. I'm going to hold the cards right up here. And what I'm going to do, I'm going to try to cut to your card. The card you're thinking of, I'm going to try to cut to it. Okay?
Okay.
Okay. I'm going to give it a shot. Here we go. I'm going to go right here. Right here. All right. This is, I've cut the deck right here. I'm obligated. All right. Now, for the first time, Robin, what is the card you are thinking of?
Eight of Diamonds.
The Eight of Diamonds. Now, Robin, I cut the deck right here. There's no way I could cheat. I can't get out of this. The card I cut to, ladies and gentlemen, the Eight of Diamonds. Yes! Yes! Not damn bad, was it, nice. Robin Scott?
Not bad at all.
You've been Abracadam.
You knew. Diamonds are a lady's best friend.
There, boom! Diamonds are a lady's best friend. I love the way you did that. The also, you know what's my best friend is Oreos. Yes. So here we go. Hmm. This is going. There we go. Ah, some visual magic. For you guys listening to this episode, Danny Whitson just took a bite out of an Oreo and then spit it right back out, and it landed right back on the cookie. Ta-da-da. All right. I'll tell you, so let's do this, Robin Scott. Here we go. We're going to get thought-provoking before we get you out of here.
Okay.
Thought-provoking question for Miss Robin Scott. If there was a conspiracy theory about the stand-up comedian Robin Scott, what would it be?
Oh, God. Conspiracy theory about Robin.
May be true, may not be true. We don't know. It's a conspiracy.
Ooh. You're not lying. This is thought provoking. What would conspiracy theory involving me be? Oh. Have I killed anybody?
Have you killed anyone?
Have I killed anyone? I talk a lot. That or I'm a druggie. It's either that or I'm a raging alcoholic. Because I talk a lot about drugs for somebody who don't do drugs.
So we didn't know that. So the conspiracy could be that really she is this horrible drug addict. She's got a major problem. What kind of drug, though? It's got to be a drug. It's got to be something abnormal.
Usually,
what kind of drug?
It would usually be like crack or something. That could, you know, drug.
But everybody does crack, Robin. It's got to be something different than crack. Come on, something like really like weird. Like what is that one drug from? What is it?
Crocodile or whatever.
What is crack? Is that the what is that?
Okay, so it's some kind of weird stuff. I think. Got mixed up in South America, and it was supposed to have fentanyl and everything in it, but it would actually make the skin scale up from the infections and all, kind of like what meth does people.
Uh-huh.
But it looks like crocodile skin, but it's actually a very deadly drug.
I was going to go off the feces, Like there's some type of where kids were shitting in a jar and getting high on drugs. But crocodile, okay, the conspiracy is that Robin Scott is really hooked on crocodile and fermented shit. I don't know. But there, there we go. There we go. That's a good conspiracy theory.
That's good. That's a good one.
Well, I'll tell you what. I tell you what, Robin, before we get out of here, where can the listeners learn more about you, find your comedy? Where are you going to be? Let's hear it.
Oh, right now I have not got booked back up yet. 2020 was a fickle bitch, but working to get myself back up there and online. You can keep track of me, robinscottcomedy.com. I'm on all social medias, usually at Robin Scott Comedy. The only one you're ever actually going to see me post a lot on is Facebook. So it's a comedian thing. I do share some stuff on Instagram. I do have a room I run in Anderson now because, you know, if we don't have somewhere anywhere anymore. So I'm running a small open mic here with some kind of big ticket monthly shows I'm working on. So I'll get with you soon. yeah, you know, you're on the list. I gotta have the right venue for you. This room's a little too small for you. But it is. It's only a 40 seat room. So we need about 100 seats for you at least.
Nice.
So, but anyhow, yeah, so Doolittle's and Anderson every Tuesday night, Electric City Comedy. That's mine and one of my friends. We actually started running it, teaching him the ins and outs. He's a little more of a, he's not so much of a comic as he is just a sketch artist and skit artist kind of person.
Nice.
And he's trying to learn comedy. So I'm like, come on aboard. I'll teach what I know, which ain't much, but I'll teach what I know how to, produce. That I know how to do. So.
Well, there we go. Awesome, Robin. Thank you so much for coming on to the Abracadam podcast. This has been great. Can't wait to get you back on.
Can't wait.
All right, that does it for that episode of the Abracadam podcast. I hope you guys enjoyed my conversation with Robin. She is a fantastic comic. And if you ever get a chance to check her out, you definitely want to, especially if you're ever anywhere in the Anderson, South Carolina area. I know she does a lot of shows around there, so definitely check her out. She's a fantastic comic. If you guys have not done so yet, be sure to go like and subscribe to Abracadam podcast on YouTube. And be sure to subscribe and follow whatever platform it is you listen to podcasts on. And be sure to leave us a review. I would love to hear some feedback about what you think about these episodes. So definitely be sure to give us a follow and subscribe anywhere you listen to podcasts. And like always, Abracadamits, thank you for listening.
Freaking miracle. There you go.